know what happens. Anybody who's ever spoken before, something happens from that seat to here. Something happens. I don't know what that is. It's good, and it's also frightening. It's like, it's like I got tears in my eyes, and then I'm overwhelmed over here like, God, I just want to speak your word today. And I do believe, is there anybody here who's wearing a brace? Anybody wearing any type of leg or arm or back brace or anything? No? Yeah, any brace. Yeah, leg brace. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just had to sense anybody who was wearing a brace would need to get prayed for. So can we just pray for Greg in agreement? I know we've done this before, but we keep on praying. I just had a sense that we need to pray for braces. So let's just agree together for my brother Greg one more time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Greg. I thank you for your hand upon Greg. I thank you that you are his healer. And we come together in agreement today that he will need these leg braces no more. That your spirit is at work in him. And he will walk and not get weary. And he will, run and not get weary and walk and not faint, Lord. You're bringing strength to him. You are strengthening him now. And everyone gathered here together today touches and agrees in the name of Jesus that he's healed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. It's going to be a little different today. I went to bed last night with no message, asking the Lord all week, and I just didn't get anything. And had a dream, and in the dream, I was teaching at a pretty familiar church. I'm pretty sure it was a church. Anybody's familiar with the Church Jesus Image in Florida? I had a dream that I was teaching there, supposed to be teaching there, and I had no message in the dream. And it was a pretty vivid dream, and I have this bed. I don't know what's wrong with it, but the slats keep popping out from under the bed. And then, like, they just pop, 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 pop. And I'm, like, sleeping like this. And all of a sudden, I'm like this in my bed. And it happened this morning right at the end of my dream. It, like, woke me up out of that dream. And I'm like, what in the world? And I usually get pretty frustrated. My kids get a good laugh at it. So I just took my little blanket and my pillow and went out to the couch. Anybody would have come into my house at 6 o'clock this morning, you would have thought Brittany was mad at me. I'm asleep on the couch, and I just had the sense that I needed to write down this dream with the Holy Spirit. And I feel like something in this dream is for us. When Travis was starting to share at the end of our worship time, he said, like, there's more for us in worship. That there's more that we're going to experience here in worship. So can I tell you about the dream? I really think that's what the Lord has for me. I think it was for today. I do have a backup word just in case this goes south. I'm scrolling. It's a pretty long one here. So, let's just pray again. Holy Spirit, I need you. You guys have been here for a while. This is not me normally. This is not my style. Holy Spirit, I need you. We need you. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see all that the Spirit is doing. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray that you would come in your strength. In your power, that you would come in your own special way. Is anybody just absolutely amazed that the Holy Spirit will show up in the most broken lives? No, he's not picky. He doesn't need a flashy building, smoke machines. He just needs someone who was saying, I need you. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just feel like I need to encourage you all. Don't just wait to Sunday to encounter the Holy Spirit. Husbands, wives, children, grandparents, aunts, uncles, invite Holy Spirit. He's not picky. Your house can be a mess. Most of the time, I've got like 3 loads of clean laundry beside my bed that I never got a chance to put away, and he still shows up. This is essential. This is absolutely essential, is that we live in relationship with Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to lie, if you haven't done this, if you haven't invited him, haven't taken time to come into agreement, it's going to be a little awkward at first. It might feel forced. All I can say is get over it. Welcome Holy Spirit into your lives. He'll give you dreams. He'll make you stand in front of people and talk about the dreams. And it's all worth it. It's all worth it. So in the dream, I was scheduled to teach at a place that reminded me of a church called Jesus Image. I was completely unprepared, and I put in parentheses, I believe it was intentionally from the Lord. When it came time to share, are all the young kids out here? Okay, I have to alter this a little bit. When it came time to share, music stopped, and I knew I was supposed to begin speaking, and I feel like I'm reliving that moment right now. I'm like, okay, this is feeling really real at the moment. I knew I was supposed to begin speaking, and a man wearing a Ravens football jersey comes up to me. It wasn't the pastor of Jesus Image, it was somebody I didn't recognize. But I'm a big football fan, and my favorite football team is the Ravens. And so the man wearing a Ravens jersey handed me the mic. And when he did, he said, "You're up." And I whispered to him, "I don't have a message." And he became noticeably irritated. He looked in my eyes and said the phrase, I'm just telling you the dream, WTF. Said it in my dream, very irritated. Sorry, you have to edit that out maybe, I don't know. Worship Teaching Fellowship, that's what I say it stands for. Worship Teaching and Fellowship, WTF Church, here we go. No, maybe that's probably not going to be very marketable. But he said it. I mean, he dropped the real word. He didn't just say the letters in my dream, and he walked away. I believe the man wearing the jersey represents idolatry. At this moment, I heard the church congregation begin to murmur, as someone should have begun to speak by this point. With no message to share, I brought the mic up to my mouth and I began to worship. Because of everyone looking at me and me not being able to give them what they expected, I felt very uncomfortable at first. But it was all I could do. All I could do was worship. I couldn't stop the people from murmuring. It's all I could do was just worship. I don't remember any certain song. I don't remember any instruments of any kind accompanying me. This is when I noticed the aisles of the church start to fill with people who were exiting. And as they were exiting, they gave me looks of disapproval, shaking their heads as they left. It reminded me, this is not the dream, but I'm just adding this for funny. It reminded me of the time we went to the Ravens game, but it wasn't in Baltimore, it was in Charlotte. The Ravens were playing the Panthers. And early in the fourth quarter, the Panthers were just beating us bad. There was no possibility of a comeback. And I looked around what is it, Bank of America Stadium. I looked around Panther Stadium, and I could see the aisles, and it looked like it was just like bleeding purple because all the Ravens fans were leaving in the middle of this. And I remember, oh, the gracious Panthers fans started singing, na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. They were just like singing us out as all of us left. And I kind of felt like that kind of moment, like where I saw the aisles filling with people as they left the church. With all these people leaving the church, I wanted to do something to appease them, but I couldn't stop worshiping. And then soon I started to hear other voices begin to worship. Not everybody had left that church. There were people still seated, and it was like, you know, what do we do? And they began to worship. They began to lift their voice. As I'm writing this, my son Brennan had an accident, and I had to get up and change his diaper and pull the sheets and everything else. And by the time, so then when I came back to my couch with my blanket, it was 6:10, and I felt like that was significant. And Matthew 6:10 says, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I felt like that was significant. I felt like it was weird how a dream and a reality kind of were like overlapping in that moment. But I feel like on earth as it is in heaven was beginning to take place as the other people began to worship, right? Soon everyone who stayed were all worshiping together. Within moments, we all sensed the Lord's presence corporately. There was great joy, there was great peace, and there was a unity in our midst that like I had never known before. We all felt absolutely connected. I looked and I saw the man wearing the Ravens jersey in the drum booth, and he was very bewildered. Again, I believe this is idolatry. He was very bewildered, very disoriented. Beside him, this gets a little weird, but beside him was a spilt cup of coffee. I went in to see what he was doing, and we both laid in the spilt coffee together. While laying in the coffee, I attempted to start playing the drums, but it only made noise and actually caused a distraction. I left the drum booth and began to address the crowd concerning those who had left, and a few who were still, and there were still people had left, but in the dream there were still some people kind of deciding whether or not they were going to leave. I began to address all of them, and I said, saying to them, they have not come to worship the one true God. They have come to worship a God they have made, a God that they have put into a box, a God that they can control. Then our worship continued for some time. I could see people while in worship with joy on their faces, marveling with one another at the tremendous sense of the Lord's presence. It was incredible. I was like, it was amazing. You know how in a dream you can experience it? I experienced it in the dream. And then all of a sudden I got a prophetic word. And I began to address the people. And I think it's people that were in their 40s and 50s. And I think it also means people who have been walking with the Lord 40 or 50 years. I began to address those people in my dream. And I told them to begin reading their Bible with more fervor than they've ever read it before. That they were going to start having revelation that would come to them from very familiar Bible stories. And I said this phrase, revelation is hidden in plain sight. And then the bed slats popped and I woke up. Whew. It's a pretty cool dream, right? It's pretty cool. And I've got some bits and pieces of this thing that I felt like I prayed about that the Lord gave me. the first phrase that came to me is, the God that we can control is not worthy of worship. And anytime we try to worship that God, we can only get so far and we run out of steam, becomes uncomfortable, becomes not what the Lord intended us to do. Soon we will run out of energy and we will lose desire altogether to worship this God that we created. But when we worship the one true God, this is pretty cool, Vic, you had referenced this when you were leading worship this morning. But when we worship the one true God and his Son who came to redeem all of humanity, we actually find more joy and we actually find more strength to worship him endlessly with all that we are. It was a gut check for me. Anytime I grow weary in worship, it's maybe because I'm worshiping a God that I have created in my own image or a God that is not the one true God. But when I worship the one true God in spirit and in truth, I am empowered. I am strengthened. Something happens within the spirit of who I am that just wants to go more. That maybe it starts off like, yeah, and then it turns into the yeah, and then it turns, it's like, I can't explain, but something is welling up. Tears start flowing, but it's like, as I'm being poured out, I'm being filled up at the same time. Poured out, filling up, poured out, filling up, and every time the filling up happens, like more gets in than it did the last time. I believe this is a word for our church. To get honest with the Lord. How many of you love being honest with the Lord about where you are at on certain things? I used to not like it, but I love being honest with the Lord. And I had to be honest with the Lord. I'm like, am I worshiping this God of convenience? Or am I worshiping... And the Lord will speak to you. He'll show you. He's so kind and gracious and gentle and loving because he wants you to get it right. Because when you get it right, you're whole. When you get it right, you're full. When you get it right, you're living abundant life. But I also know that that type of worship comes with a cost, as I noticed the people in the aisles leaving the church. Rayleigh in prayer this morning, out of nowhere, I love Rayleigh. He'll come to prayer and he'll share a Bible verse sometimes. I'm like, where in the world did that come from? And I'm like, oh, wow. He was talking about Moses and how the people were like, no, we don't want to talk to God. I feel like the people that were like, no, we don't want to talk to God. Those were the people that were going, that were leaving. Like, we don't want to, that is way too raw, like that is way too much for me. Like those are the ones. But Moses was the one who braved the dark cloud and the thunder and the lightning. And to me, that just means a big picture of the uncomfortable. And he pressed in to hear God. And I feel like there's a lot of people in the church today that aren't willing to brave the discomfort. And they're just like, no, I'll let somebody else's duty. We're all meant to encounter the presence of God together. We're all meant to brave the uncomfortable. We're meant to do it together. So I challenge us going into this new year with what Travis shared earlier when it comes to worship. Funny thing, one of the quotes from the pastor of Jesus Image Church, the only actually quote I know that I could quote from him is this quote right here: "The fastest way into the presence of God is worship." And I believe that. I believe there is this inhabiting that happens when I focus all that I am in praise, worship, and adoration. He's drawn to that, and that church has actually made a very intentional pursuit of that type of worship environment. And I'm not saying we need to copy and paste. I'm saying that there is a heart that's willing to brave whatever discomfort we experience here in Wilmington. But it's like, it's so worth it. I just want to worship. I don't want to be the one bolting down the aisle. I'm okay being the one in the seat, you know, looking at like, I don't know, Greg, this is kind of weird, bro, but let's go for it, man. Let's go for it. Yeah, you know? And I want people around me that are going to be like, bro, I don't know what's going on, but let's go for it. I don't want to be drawn to the people that make me feel okay to not go for it. When I was a youth pastor back in the day, I noticed this crazy thing that happened. Girls would come in first time, whatever, and somehow the teenage girls would always gravitate to the other girls that were boy crazy. Like they would find each other like magnets drawn to one another. And it was like, it's almost like, I know this wasn't happening, but it was almost like they were like, hey, are you boy crazy? I'm boy crazy too. Cool, let's hang out. It's like that was happening. And there was other girls that were like all about God. And the girls that were like boy crazy, they would like never, they're like, oh no, that's, I don't want to get near that. I like being around the people that make me feel okay doing the dysfunctional thing that I'm doing, because it makes me feel like the dysfunctional thing I'm doing is actually normal. Be around people that make you feel uncomfortable. And here's the crazy thing. Adults, we don't have youth groups. You know what we have? We have YouTube. And we'll go on YouTube to find people that make us feel comfortable about our dysfunction. I challenge you all to be the one that's willing to be uncomfortable, that's able to look at the people beside you, be like, during worship today, I saw Rayleigh, and I knew that part was coming, the song, that Jesus is Lord. And I just had this moment, like, I feel like I'm supposed to put my hands on Rayleigh's shoulder and to say, and just look in his eyes and be like, Jesus is Lord. You know, just kind of weird. But Rayleigh was like, dude, thank you for doing that. It broke something off of me. Right? Is that what you said? I encourage you all, be after the presence and the purposes and the ways of God, even if it's uncomfortable. I know, even saying that, there's still going to be people that are uncomfortable and they'll leave, but it's worth it, because I wasn't being mean in the dream. I wasn't saying like, let them go. We don't care about them. They didn't come to worship the one true God. No, it was just like, I was just speaking the truth. This is too much. And this God that cannot be controlled or contained is the one that we're after, the one that we have surrendered and submit our lives completely to. So as we go into, you know, this new year, our lives, worship the Lord in such a way that he comes and he fills you. He's not picky, like I said at the very beginning. He's not picky at all. He will show up in your messy house. Anybody experience the presence of the Lord going 60 miles an hour down the road and you just got tears in your eyes? Charlene, didn't you say you had to pull over one time? Pulled over one time because her eyes were just so full of tears because of the presence of God in her car. Do that. Do that. Call on the name of the Lord. Be honest with him. Lord, is there anywhere in my heart where I'm worshiping a God that's not really you? Is there anywhere in my life, and I feel like the significance of the idolatry thing is like sometimes we can actually make music, song, style, preferences, an idol. I'd be very careful where I'm saying here, because I don't want you guys to hear me the wrong thing. But the style isn't the goal. His presence is our goal. What I like isn't the goal. What he likes is the goal. You know, we have this lingo in the worship world where people leave church and they're like, oh man, you missed it. Worship was on fire today. But really, there's only one person who can validate whether worship was on fire that day. Amen. And it was God. It was the King of Kings and it was the Lord of Lords, the one that we were giving our all to. He's the only one who can say, worship was lit today. And that's the kind of worship I want, the kind of worship where I'm in spirit and I'm in truth, where there's nothing hidden. I'm just laid bare before the Lord. Today, I remember just worshiping the Lord, and I was like, just something came over me. I'm like, Lord, you walked into my shame. Lord, you walked into all my, and I'm just weeping, just nothing hidden, thinking of all the moments where I didn't get it right and all the moments where I went off track. And the Lord walked into them to assure me that he was still the Father who comes running after the prodigal. And it caused me even more to praise him and more tears to flow. Nothing before the Lord be hidden. Come with him with your hearts wide open. Don't make the style or your preference an idol. Smash that thing. And as people began to encounter the presence of the Lord, the idol became bewildered and disoriented. It was like, this thing is like completely, this thing that was so bold is now laying out, and I'll probably have to talk to Travis and Paul about what the heck a spilled cup of coffee means. But I was like, maybe that was just me wanting coffee. I don't know. But the idolatry literally got bewildered and disoriented and just like gave up. It just was like not a thing anymore. Well, yeah, that's about all I've got, I think, Lord. Let me just pray. Let's just pray together into this. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you for making me uncomfortable because I know it's for your glory. Can anybody else pray that prayer wholeheartedly? Holy Spirit, I thank you for making me uncomfortable because I know it's for the glory of God. Maybe just take that moment right now and be honest with the Lord. Anywhere in your life that you've been worshiping a God of convenience or a God that you can somehow contain, just be honest. Lord, I want that kind of worship in my life that strengthens me, that empowers me.
That was awesome. That dream is rich. It really is. Let me just point out a couple of things I saw. Maybe if you saw something you want to share. You know, it was a Ravens fan. It was a guy with a jersey on, right? He's a fan. He's a spectator. He's a spectator. You know, if you're a football fan, you sit in the stands and you watch. God is not interested in a spectator sport. Every single one of you that is a believer in Christ Jesus has been drafted into the army, and you're to live your life for his glory in every place, everywhere, at all times. It's not a thing to where we come down here and we sit down and we watch other people entertain us. And that's what church has become, unfortunately. Amen. If we're a lot. I'm not everywhere, but it's become an entertainment. We come here and we want to be entertained. And even in the charismatic world, we come and we want to be entertained by the gifts of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit. My gosh, we need it. I'm not saying we don't need it. We desperately need it. We need more than we've ever had. But it's not for the sake of our entertainment. You know, where we seek, we come seeking an entertainment. And, you know, Jesus said in John 4, I'm going to read this to you. The woman at the well, Jesus says to her, he said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. What is God after? What does God want? See, that's the whole change of focus. One focus is what do we want? But what does God want? Are we living to be the answer to God's desire? When our mind and our heart shift to where we start living to bring him joy, we have become true worshipers, which is what the Father desires. We want to worship in spirit and in truth, but the ultimate root of worship is a refocusing from us to him. Remember the fall? When all the eyes got on us, we began to see our own nakedness. When Adam fell, he ate the fruit, he became self-aware. And from that point on, self-focus caused every kind of wicked thing that's in this world. Selfishness kills. Worship restores us to our focus being where it's supposed to be, which is on the Father. We spend our life, oh, I don't have this. This is going on. Wah, wah, wah. Do we not? But what is pleasing the Father? Much of our pain, not all, but some of our pain, is the result of us being self-focused. Go get out of yourself and go start trying to figure out what God wants and please him. And a lot of our issues will get dried up because they come from self-absorbance. We see everything through the lens of me. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm frustrated today because things didn't go the way I thought they should go. Wah. Get focused on God. He gave his life for you. You can be born again, walking with the Father. Let's live for his joy, not ours. And I promise you, if you will live for his joy, God will do a better job than you will at bringing yourself joy. When we live for our own joy, we're missing the true joy that we could have if we would live for his joy. When we live for his joy, then God will help our joy. Worship is refocusing ourselves on him, not us. That's what worship does. Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. All those people leaving, their desire wasn't met. Their desire wasn't met, so they separated themselves. Ah, you're not doing what I want. I'm leaving. What does that show you? They were there for themselves. A lot of people come to church for yourself. You come for what it does for you. And church does stuff for you. There is no doubt. There is a truth. We get stuff from coming to church. It's important for our own self. But the goal of coming to church is not for what it does for us. It's what it does for him. It's a shift in our mindset. And a lot of people come to church, and that is their intention. What can I get out of this? And they leave church when they don't get what they think they should get. Why were you there in the first place? Did the Father send you there? If he sent you there, then do you have a right to turn around and leave just because you don't like something that's going on? Maybe you weren't sent there. Or maybe you were, and now it's just revealing how you're really just following your own desire. If God wants to plug us into the church, the body that we're supposed to be connected with, and you don't have permission to leave until God says it. And that's not based on whether or not the preacher makes you mad or somebody in the church makes you mad. How many people, as pastor in church, see people leave because they get offended at somebody in the church? You get offended at people at your work, but you can't leave, though, can you? Just saying. Let's look at this. John. Man, that dream is rich. Because I believe it is a picture of not only what God wants to do here, it's a picture of what God wants, what God's about to do in his church at large. There's a division that's coming and has been coming. And the division is between those who are truly there to worship God and those who are there just for themselves. If you're there just for yourself, you're going to fall away. And you're meant to. Jesus, you know, Jesus divided his own crowd. He divided his own followers. He purposely said things to cause people to leave. It was a test. Remember when he fed the multitudes? He turned the loaves and the two fish and the loaves and the five loaves and two fish and he multiplied them and fed over 5,000 men and then all the women too. So it was probably a group of about 10,000 people that got fed miraculously. And he ministered to them. And then that night was over, he left. And they came looking for him the next day. And Jesus had some tough words for him. John chapter 6, we pick up this story. And in verse 26, when the people found him, at verse 25, they said, they found him on the other side of the sea. They said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. How many times are we following Jesus because of what it does for us? They were seeking Jesus because their belly got full. And a lot of times we seek the Lord for the blessings of the Lord. And don't get me wrong, I love the blessings of the Lord. I want the blessings of the Lord. But I also know that, you know, in 07, I had the Lord speak to me in 06. I had a dream that was the Lord releasing me to go to India. The next day, I wake up, I turn on my cell phone, and I have an invitation to go speak at a conference in India. That's pretty amazing, right? You have a dream that God's releasing you to go somewhere, India, and I had been wanting to go to India for years, and the Lord kept telling me, no, 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 it's not time. I finally get this release. I wake up the next day, and I have a phone call, a voice message inviting me to speak at a conference in India in 07. It was awesome. That was God. How many know that's God? You can't make that up. Well, I didn't know we were pregnant at the time, but we got pregnant either right then or right after that from my first child, Alexa, who's walking up the stairs there. But it just so happens that this trip coincided with my wife's birth, or the birth of Alexa. And I decided that me and Lindsay prayed, and we knew it was the Lord for me to go. And so she was fine with me going, though all of our friends were upset with me and kept trying to talk Lindsay into being mad at me for leaving her during this thing. And she's like, no, it's okay. It's the Lord. I personally believed, and she did too, that I would get back before the child was born because God told me to go. And why would he cause me to miss the child of my birth when he knows that's something I've been looking for since I was for a long, long time? You know, I'd been married at 21 and I was 33 when we had Alexa. I wanted kids that whole time. But 10 days into my trip, I get a phone call. Lindsay goes into labor early. I'm in India, and I'm like going in between just, you know, bawling like a baby to a total faith that I'm about to be translated. Oh, I'm about to be translated. Oh, my God, God. You know, it was crazy. It was Jekyll and Hyde. I get a 3-hour trip to the airport, have to get a quick flight, get a flight to Dubai, land in Dubai, and my sister-in-law's on the phone. I still have the message of Alexa crying in the background, and just my heart was broken. It's not life or death, but it was a big deal to me. And I was just bewildered. Didn't understand. I was confused. I was heartbroken that I wasn't there to support my wife. I didn't see the birth of my child. I get up, I go to the restroom, I'm in tears, I'm in the bathroom just crying. And God instantly showed me my whole life from that point up to that point. And the blessing of the Lord all of my life, all through my years, the God's hand of blessing over my life. I saw it. It was I was blessed, 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 protected. But then he spoke to me so clear, and he said, "Will you serve me if it doesn't go well with you?" And it was like an arrow to my heart. And I realized the crux of this thing is that do we serve God for his blessings, or do we serve God because he's worthy to be served no matter what it does to us? No matter what it costs you. If it costs you your life, is it too much? Is God worth it? Why do we serve God? Is he God and he's worthy of our service and our praise, and we do it because he's worthy of it? And I had to stop and think. And I was like, yes, Lord. No matter what it costs me, I give you my life to serve you. Instantly, instantaneously, I was healed. My emotions were healed. Confusion was gone. The joy of the Lord was back. It was like nothing I can't explain it to you. It was just, and it was all in a couple seconds. And it gave me the perspective and helped me understand, what did Jesus say? If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. We have done the church a disservice by telling people, just say a prayer and you're all good. Bull. You say a prayer and invite Jesus into your life, it's the beginning of a journey that you have to pick up your cross daily and follow him. You can leave him at any point. You can get up out of your seat and walk out of the church service when it's not going the way you want it to go. You can decide to leave the Lord when things happen that you don't understand. Right now, I know two families that I care about dearly that have lost children. Is Jesus still worthy to be praised and honored? You bet it. Believe it. You better believe it. Though, as in the words of Job, though you slay me, I will trust you. Though you slay me, I will trust you. He's the one that loves us perfectly. He's the one that gave his son to die for us. And Jesus here says, you're seeking me because you... And then Jesus does something. He says to this group, he says something that he knew was going to offend them, that they wouldn't understand because they didn't have ears to hear, because they were only seeking him for what they got. And a lot of the stuff that God tries to speak to us, we don't get it because we're not able to get it because what we're seeking is not him, we're seeking what we want. What did Jesus say to his first disciples? When John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and the two disciples ran up to Jesus, and he stops. And they say, "Rabbi," and he says, "What is it that you're seeking?" That's an important question. Why are you following me? You need to know why you're following the Lord. And if it's just for you, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. We got to follow him because he's worthy. He died for us. Our sins are forgiven. He paid the ultimate price that we could not have go to hell. He deserves my all. This life is nothing to give to him. This nothing. I got eternity to live with him in joy and bliss and happiness. And I like all that now. I mean, I don't like pain. I like Rick's motto, no pain, no pain. You know, but... You're not going to get out of life without pain, but I'm going to serve him in the pain. And I just feel like that dream is so remarkable on so many levels. And I think he is beginning to bring a, what do you call it, the winnowing fork or whatever it is, the threshing fork, what do you call that thing, where they would thresh the wheat? No, it's a fork, yeah, threshing floor fork or whatever. They would beat it. Sometimes you got to get beat to separate the the good from the bad. The Welsh Revival, how many are familiar with the Welsh Revival? How many want to see God in your church? I want to see God. I want to experience God. I'm not here just to have a good time, though I want to have a good time. I'm not here for a nice, smooth church service. You can go to a lot of churches anywhere and find a nice, polished church service that starts the same way and it ends the same way, and it's the same thing every time. And I'm not trying to throw stones at that. I'm just saying, I personally don't care about that. I want to see God in our midst. I want to experience Him. And one of the things that the Lord has been so good to speak to us about is that if you want me, you have to be willing to do things my way. And His ways aren't our ways. Isaiah 55, how many know that? God's ways are not our ways. There will be times, and I'm just warning you, I'm just letting you know, there might be times that we sit here in silence the whole service. It may happen. There may be times that things go on that we don't understand, but if we're seeking here, if we're coming here to encounter Him and to experience in Him, we have to get over this entertainment model. And that's the crux of the dream. We got to get over entertainment in church and start seeking Him together. And if we do that, what happened? When the people that weren't there to truly worship left, now the worshipers could get in unity. I would rather have a few sold out, hungry, fired up believers who are pursuing the same thing than to have a whole church full of people that are just there for their own selfish motivation and they're not seeking the heart of the Father. Does that make sense? Where two or three are gathered in my midst, in my name, there I am in their midst. It doesn't take a lot. Just two or three people. So, Josh, thank you for being willing to do that. I know it's, you know, it's uncomfortable. Being, you know, I've grown in my comfortability of speaking, but I'm comfortable here. There's other churches I've been in that I'm not as comfortable. And when God asks you to do something that is not, you don't know how it's going to end, it's sometimes hard. So I can appreciate from experiencing what he experienced today, what that's like. And I appreciate his heart to go after God. But that's what we all got to get, that heart to where we're ready to go after God no matter where he's leading us. And I think what we'll end up experiencing that if we're willing to deal with the uncomfortable things of not knowing what's going on, we will see God in ways that we never imagined we could see him in a church service.
Yeah, I hope you guys are tracking this. I mean, I think there's such a huge privilege because of this invitation from the Lord personally. The Lord is inviting us, our small, dinky little body here in Wilmington, North Carolina, to be part of a move of God. And if you guys remember, and we've talked about this, I preach this constantly, there were 500 that started and saw the resurrected Jesus Christ who just defeated death, walking around saying, "Don't go anywhere until you receive power from on high. Don't leave Jerusalem yet." They started out, 500 people saw this. I mean, imagine this. You put yourself in the situation. You seen Jesus Christ resurrected in front of you telling. I mean, you think, oh gosh, anything he says, I will do. And you had 500 people, believers, who saw the Lord, and only 120 were there in the upper room when he showed up, when the Holy Spirit showed up. There's an invitation for us, guys. And all through what this dream that Josh was talking about reminded me of Ephesians 5:10. It says, it's a real simple verse, find out what pleases the Lord. Because what pleases him, when we please the Lord with what, and we find out what pleases him, like he shows up. And even in this dream, I think it was profound that, you know, the people, when the people left that were there for other motives, were looking to please themselves, the presence showed up, right? And I think that is key. And you know, you guys heard me talk about like the Argentinian revival. There were like three or four people there, but they were finding out what pleased the Lord. They were seeking God. What is on your heart? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I don't care if it's boring. I don't care if it's dry. I don't care if nothing's happening. I mean, you guys heard that story. It was a boring, dry prayer meeting. Nobody was even doing anything. But yet they were finding out what pleased the Lord, and they were obedient to what the Holy Spirit was saying, and he shows up and he transforms a nation. This is how God does things. I mean, read Scripture. This is the pattern of Scripture. He uses small groups that are hungry for him, that want him, that don't care about the things of this world and are desperate and hungry for him and finding out what pleases him. Because, man, we are not our own anymore. He bought us, you know? Let's find out. And I feel like that's the invitation this morning, even from this dream, is let's together as a body, you guys, let's find out what pleases him and let's go after it. And let's please him with our worship. If he wants us to worship all service long, good gracious, let's worship all service long. If he's telling us to go knock on a table, like the Argentinian revival, if you guys remember that story, let's knock on that table. Let's find out what he wants. Let's show up Sunday mornings. Let's show up home groups. Let's show up anytime we're getting together, two or three gathered in his name, and say, Lord, what do you want? How can I please you today? How can I worship you today? I guarantee we're going to see God move. If we come in that attitude, and we don't care about, oh, man, I wish Vic played that song. He didn't play the song I wanted to play, he wanted to play, because I was singing it all week long, and he didn't play it. And I just knew that if he sang it, the Lord was going to show up. Let's get past all of that crazy silliness. Let's grow up and be like, Lord, what pleases you? Let's show up Sunday morning. And I don't want it to make it just like a Sunday morning church thing, because it's not, it's a life thing. Lord, how can I please you today? Oh, you want me to spend an hour in prayer with you today? Lord, I'm going to do it because I'm looking to please you, because you are my goal. You are my aim. You are what I want. I don't want church. I'm with Travis in here, and I know a lot of you guys are here. We've been going to church, man, for 20 years, and church is great. I love church. You know, we need church, but I want him. And I know a lot of you guys, you want him. And I feel like that's the invitation this morning, because it is. It's an invitation for God wants to do great things in our city, and he's looking for people that have this attitude. He's desperately looking for them. Those who worship in spirit of truth, those are the ones that the Father seeks. The Father is seeking. He's looking for those who worship in spirit and truth, that are looking to please him.
I just got something I'm going to share. We got to stand up together. I'm going to read this over you. These are the words of Jesus. I feel like it goes so fittingly. It's from John chapter 6, where Travis was speaking from about the wrong reason for pursuing Jesus. So I'm going to read these words of Jesus over you, and just pray over you for that you might encounter this week. Jesus says, why would you strive for food that is perishable and not be passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils? Lord, I pray this week that our lives would be about passionately seeking that which is eternal. Lord, I pray this week that in our homes, in our cars, our places of work, everywhere we find ourselves, Lord, that we would be after this one thing, that which is eternal, that which will never spoil, that which keeps us filled to overflow all the time. Give me grace, Lord, to recognize when I'm striving for something that is perishable. Give us grace to recognize when our pursuit has gotten off track. And help us to recognize when we have become passionate and seeking after that which cannot spoil. Your presence, your very presence within us. And Lord, as that pursuit takes over our lives, may we be light and love in this world everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, guys.